lost the joy in serving Christ. When it comes to service, what's important is not what we do with our hands, but what is going on in our hearts. Maybe we can share with the person next to you, you know, how you are feeling about serving God these days. Are you feeling burdened or irritated or resentful that others are not serving as much as you? Or are you feeling guilty or proud or exhausted, miserable, or you just feel plain lazy, you know, just or bitter? Maybe you can, you know, turn to a person next to you and just share how you are feeling about God and others these days, honestly. Thank you for sharing. And maybe some of us feel burdened or feel resentful, or some of us may feel all of them. And it's really easy, you know, especially if we have been serving at church for a long time, for decades, it is really easy for Christians to become like the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son. On the outside, the elder brother looked like an obedient son. Unlike his younger brother, he did not squander his father's wealth. He did not live a wild, immoral life like his brother did. He was very responsible. He was a good son. But that's on the outside. But on the inside, the eldest son did not love his father. He did not love his brother. The only thing he really wanted was the wealth of his father. So the elder brother wanted the same thing that the younger brother wanted. The younger brother wanted the inheritance from his father, and he left. But the elder brother was working just to get the wealth from his father. So they both were lost. They both wanted just the wealth, and they did not really love their father. And the elder brother served his father not with joy, but, you know, with a resentful heart. You know, we can serve God and others, but we can serve God with many different motives. You know, some people may serve God because they want something back from God. You know, they make a deal. God, if I do this for you, can you do this for me? You know, if I do this for God, then I think I will receive certain blessings from God. That could be one motive. Or we may want to appear as a nice person, as a good, as a moral person before others. Or we may feel like serving because we feel like that's our duty as a Christian. You know, we feel that in order to be a good person, we have to serve others. That could be a motive. Another motive is just to belong to a group. You know, some people may think, hey, the people at CCSV are so cool, and I want to be like them. You know, I want to belong. So, because they think serving is cool, I'm gonna serve with them. So, you know, there could be many, many different reasons and motives for serving. But when we serve for any other reason than love for God, we can easily become like the elder brother. And that is why we need to be served by Christ first before we can serve other people. I think this is really important. We can serve Christ only as we are being served by Christ. That sounds kind of strange. You know, when I first heard that phrase from Pastor John Piper, I was like, what? Is that right? But I think he's right on. That is very biblical. And that's what Jesus says to his disciples. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Who is the Son of Man? If we read Daniel, can we look at the slide from Daniel? It says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, that is God the Father, and was led into his presence, who has given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This doesn't sound like an ordinary person. Very special, very extraordinary person. The one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, all the glory, all the splendor, and all honor. That person who deserves, you know, service from all heavenly beings and all nations, that person is the Son of God, and the Son of Man is Jesus, the Messiah. But when he comes, he does not come to be served. He doesn't say, "Do you know who I am? You better serve me, because I am the Son of Man." He doesn't say that. He says, "I came to serve you." And Jesus lived a life of service for the poor, for the despised, for the rejected, for the lowly. And the call to follow Jesus as his disciple is not just a call to serve him, but it is a call to be served by him. So Jesus says, "Come follow me, and I will serve you as you serve others." The greatness of Jesus is not that he can command the service of billions of people, but that he can serve billions and billions of people. On September 17th, 1992, I don't know, how old were you in 1992? How old were you? That's when I graduated from college. 1992, U.S. F-3 fighter bomber, F-3 jet, was returning to its base in a small village called Upper Hayford in England. The pilot's name, Captain Jerry Lind, and the navigator, Major David McGuire, they'd been just on a routine flight. But as they approached the runway, their plane suffered a total hydraulics failure. And the pilot could not have much control over the plane. And when the control tower at the base learned that, they told the crew, "Hey, eject. You know, just abandon your plane and eject." But then if they ejected, the plane would crash into the houses in the village. So Captain Lind and Major McGuire, they chose to stay, and they steered the plane so that it went over the village. But then it was too late to eject, and it got crashed, and they both died in the plane crash. They chose to die to save the lives in that village. And their sacrifice reflects what Jesus had done for us. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. A ransom is a price paid in person or in money to save people's lives. And the many includes you and me. Ever since the beginning, all humanity has turned away from God. Although God is the rightful ruler, we rejected his rule. We rebelled against his rule, and we have all gone on our way. We pushed out God from the center of our life, from the throne of our life, and we set ourselves in the center. We have made ourselves as the Lord, as the God of our own life. And we acted as if we were in charge. And those who reject God will live without God. They will be cut off from the source of life and love. Jesus described hell as being shut out from God's kingdom, being in darkness, weeping and gnashing one's teeth. But Jesus came to rescue us from hell, from being cut off from God's presence, from the source of life and love. And as he died on the cross, the sky turned dark. And Jesus was cut off from his Father. And he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus felt abandoned by God, cut off by God. And Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, says that the Messiah was cut off from the land of the living and that he was stricken by God for our transgressions. All the sin of humanity was laid on Jesus, and he was stricken by God, by God's wrath, and he was crushed. Jesus received the punishment that we deserved. He had paid the ransom price with his own life. And that is how Jesus served you and me, by giving his life for us. And this is really a mind-boggling event. And yet, because we've heard this so many times, we've grown numb to that message. It doesn't really move us as it should. But during the season of Lent, we should really take a pause and reflect on what cross means. We need to hear the cry of Jesus and appreciate the depth of his loving service. There's nothing like it. What God serves his people. What God's die for people. There is nothing more terrible. And there's nothing more wonderful. Jesus died for you. But Christ's service does not end with the cross. It continues on. Jesus continues to serve us today. How does he serve us? 1 Peter chapter 4, 11, whoever serves, let him serve with the strength that God provides. God gives us the strength to serve him. George Mueller writes in his diary, God gives us strength through his word. And George Mueller writes, can we look at this slide, the second slide and the last? The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord, but how I might get my soul into a happy state and how my inner man may be nourished. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditate on it. When we meditate on God's Word, we receive God's joy, and that joy becomes our strength to serve others. Christ provides us with the strength to serve also through the Lord's Supper. And we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. As we celebrate the supper, Christ is here and Christ gives himself to us. He nourishes our faith. He gives his love and presence for his people. Christ is the gift that continues to give. And Christ also in heaven intercedes on your behalf. Did you know that Christ in heaven is praying for you? For each one of you, Christ is praying to the Father. And as we serve him, we do make mistakes. But when we confess our sins, Christ serves us by forgiving us, by washing us. And as we serve him, Christ takes care of us as our good shepherd. Christ leads us to green pastures, and he provides our needs. And he gives full and abundant life to his beloved sheep. So Christ serves us in many ways today. And Christ does not serve us with resentment or bitterness, but Christ serves us with joy just because he loves us, just because he loves you and I. The elder brother in the parable refused to go into the party. So the father comes out of the party to meet the elder son, and he pleads him to join the party. And the father says, my son, you are always with me, and all I have is yours. And we don't know if the older brother accepted the father's invitation and went into the party or not. Does the elder brother stay outside, working on the field, resentful and angry, hating his father and hating his brother? Or did he choose to go in, realizing maybe for the first time that he doesn't have to work for the goats or the sheep, that the Father loves him and is willing to give him everything he owns. If he had accepted the Father's invitation, then I think the older brother would serve his father with joy, with thanksgiving, because he knows now that he is fully loved and accepted by his father. How about you? What is going on in your heart as you serve? Are you serving God with joy and love? Or is your heart filled with anger and bitterness and resentment? Perhaps you've been going to church for decades and you've been working hard to earn God's favor. But maybe you've never felt that God loves you and God's favor rests on you. Have you been served by Christ? Have you received God's love? Do you know the assurance of God's love for you? You know, we can forget about our service. We can rather choose to look at the service of Christ for us. Christ gave his life for you, and he continues to give his life for us. Let Christ serve you and love you, even today. Believe in what Christ has done for you and receive his love. We are letting Christ serve and love us when we hear the good news, when we preach the good news to ourselves. We are letting Christ wash us as we confess our sins. We are letting Christ transform us as we meditate on God's word. We are letting Christ nourish us as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We are letting Christ provide for our needs when we pray. We can serve Christ only as we are being served by Christ. God wants us to realize how much God loves us, so that we would serve him out of love. It would be an expression of our love for him. We will be able to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind only as we receive the service of God, who loves us with all his heart, soul, and mind. Let's pray. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and as we celebrate the supper, let us think of what Christ has done for us, and let us just receive Christ's love and his service for us.